Well, thank you. I know you have lots of little ones. My son would be here if he didn't have 101 temperature, but I can tell you right now, yeah, he's sick. We've been dealing with that, but I tell you, if my son was here, he would be battling everybody to be walking right up this to get up here, and that's what he likes to do after church. He likes to get up on the stage, and so I know you've got little ones, and they're going all over the place. We normally would have them in children's church, but I'll tell you this. I say this because one new thing, actually, in January, we're also going to have start having children's church for the whole church, for the little ones that are in here as well, for some of the ages, so that they can get more out of this time, and that's coming too. But I'll say this to you before I get into, and this won't be a sermon. I'm going to be shorter and briefer. It's a candlelight service, and my church knows that usually I go on for 40 minutes or more, but I'm not going to do that. Last year, it was 8 minutes. I'll probably be around 10 minutes, okay? 2 minutes extra. But I want to say this. I've been reading a lot of statistically about churches and reaching people, and I know that in our country in general, faith is on the decline all around every denomination in general, in terms of in churches and just people leaving God. And it's part of whenever we stop making God the centerpiece, the next generation will stop worshiping God. We'll stop following God. And one of the things I in my research I've learned, and in the books I've been reading, the number one most important thing to keep a generation in church, the number one thing they say, it's actually, you would never believe it, it's corporate worship. Of all things that keep the next generation in church, it's seeing people worshiping together, older, younger, your family, other people that you look up to, all of us together, corporately worshiping the King. That's what keeps the next generation in the church. And so what I would say to you is today, as we come, I know you got little ones running around, there's something important about worshiping in the church together, older and younger, together worshiping God, the one King. And so I say to you, if there's some screaming babies, don't worry about it. I go home to it every day, right? And I'll just talk louder, right? But there's something special about corporate worship. And so I think it's also special that as we come into a time, our final song, we'll be singing Silent Night, and we will be lighting candles, and this whole place will be lit up. And it's for a purpose. It's all about the next generation becoming the light. Amen? That's what this service is about. And this, and again, in my research, the most number one, most important thing is for younger ones, even when they've walked away from church, is to remember a positive experience where we all worshiped. And at some point, there's a longing for, listen, not me, maybe not you, but a longing for something bigger than them. And that's God. And the corporate worship is where God's Holy Spirit tends to fill us the most. And what we need more than we need anything else, we need God more than we need anything else. We need His presence more than we need anything else. And sometimes we have to get to a broken point to where we realize we need God, and I need God back in my life. And so what I would say is the number one thing for your children to continue to follow God is to worship and to see worship and to the significance of worship, to experience the presence of God. And in time, God will bring them back or even will bring them in. So with that said, I want to read only three passages today pointing towards our what we're about to do in the lighting of the candles. I want to point to three passages for us to look at. First, I want to look at Genesis 12, verses 2 through 3. This is a significant covenant. If you've been around me at any point, this comes up maybe every 2 months because it's such a significant event. And I would say this, I say this in the life of my church all the time, that maybe some of you are Jewish, but I can tell you right now, the majority of you are not Jewish people. We are Americans, we're full of Gentiles right here, and I'll tell you, this has to do with us right here. And it says this, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. So he's saying this to Abraham. God is telling Abraham, I'm going to make you a great blessing. If you will go out, if you will follow me, verse 1 is God saying, go follow me. If you do that, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. And this is the beginning of the Old Testament. And God is going to, you're going to read multiple books of the Old Testament where God is giving them a great nation. God is making them a king. He's doing everything he says to him. But the significant part is about this next part. And here's what he says. I will bless those who bless you, and of him who dishonors you, I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Are you a Gentile? Most of us are. all families of earth shall be blessed. In a 2017 in America, in Bayshore Baptist Church, this covenant that God made from the very beginning has very much to do with us right here. All of us right here. And so he says that, and then we see this in John 8:12. Jesus tells us this. He says, again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. We'll have the light of life. And I love this because Jesus, he goes to the Old Testament, and throughout the Old Testament, it points to a Messiah. The whole Bible is about covenants, it's about salvation. And God in the very beginning says there's going to be a blessing to all nations. And the whole Old Testament prophesies and points to the significant figure, the Messiah figure that we worship today, that would come and everything would change. Everything would be different. And it all points them. And Jesus right here is claiming, says, I am the light. I am the one the whole Old Testament has prophesied about, has spoken about, has said would come. That's me. But look what Jesus says to the disciples in the Sermon on the Mount, arguably the greatest sermon ever. Here we go. He says this in Matthew 5:14-16. And this is why we're going to hold candles up today. He says this, you are the light of the world. Notice the shift. John 8:12, he says, I am the light of the world. But when Jesus speaks to his disciples, he says, you are the light of the world. And what is he saying? The whole Old Testament, the whole prophecy from the beginning, from Genesis all the way through the whole Old Testament, all pointed to Jesus. And Jesus now says, now you are the light. What does he say to his disciples? 120 followed Jesus, right? Until he died and resurrected. And then he says over and over, greater things will happen when I ascend to the Father and the Holy Spirit enters into you. And guess what happens? Right away, Peter, of all people who just denied Jesus, stands up and 3,000 people get saved and the mission begins. Amen? I mean, greater things than even Jesus himself, who could do all things. I mean, he could do the supernatural. We read miracle after miracle, only 120. And yet he says, when I resurrect, greater things are going to happen through my people. And that's what happens. We see 3,000, which will be the burst of Acts. And he says, you are the light of the world. And he goes on, a city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. You don't want a dark house, you got to shine the light. Verse 16, he says, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Ultimately, everything has to do glory with God, for God in heaven. But he says, you are the light. Through your good works, through your obedience, through you being who God has called you to be, that is how the world is going to change. How is the next generation going to follow Jesus? It's going to happen through God's people being the light, being who God has called you to be. Because Jesus says, I am the light, but now you are the light. So when we come into this ceremony, we're going to sing Silent Night. We were remembering that through Jesus, the light came. But Jesus did not just come and that's it, it's over. We spent the whole time in the Old Testament waiting for this figure, and then it's not over. The whole purpose was, listen, he had a plan. He says in Genesis, I'm going to make a family of all nations. Believers will be of every tongue, of every race, of all people. And listen, guess what? That's the thesis of the Bible. It's in Revelations. All people, all tongues, all nations will worship God because God has made a way for all people. At birth from Israel, we waited for the Messiah. And then the Messiah says to the most unlikely of people, the disciples, you're going to change the world because you're going to be the light. Some of you in this room, listen, I don't know what you've been through in your life. I don't know where you are right now. I don't know what you've been doing in the last several years or what you've been going through. Let me tell you something. If you believe in Jesus Christ, if the Holy Spirit resides within you, no matter what you've done, no matter what mistake, no matter what path you've been walking, stop running, be the light. Accept being the light this year. 2018, forget 2017, forget 2016. This year, let's make a commitment to be the light who God has called us to be and make a difference in our country. Let's stop looking around and saying, where is everything? Everything's falling apart. Why does the next generation follow God? Stop focusing on all those things. Start focusing on you. Are you the light? Is God getting glory from the life that you live, the works that you're living, that the words you're saying, what you're doing, are you making a difference in people's life because you know the light And God's filled you with light, and now it's time to be the light. Are we being the light? The next two sermons, I will focus on Vision Sunday. I'll focus on a new year and getting repurposed to our focus, and it is the light. And as we celebrate through Emmanuel, Jesus came in the incarnate. He gives us hope, but he didn't just give us hope and the light and the Holy Spirit for nothing. He gave us a mission. So today, as every light starts getting from one to everybody, that is the beauty of the gospel. And that is literally what has happened as we stand here in America, 2017, full of Gentiles. The light came and it transformed the world. Amen? Amen. And let me tell you something. Acts says very clearly that he would do that. He'd first start in Judea, and then it would go to the ends of the world. We represent the ends of the world. But listen, the mission's not done. The mission's not done. The mission is every day, and it's an everyday living and being the light that God has called us to be. So with that said, we're going to come into a time of singing Silent Night. When I light this first candle, what it means... Uh-oh, where did it go? Whoop. Oh. I'm going to borrow a candle. Trevor's playing guitar. He doesn't need a candle. I'll hold it for you. Trevor, I'll come put my arm around you. We will be a candle together. We're not getting married, but we're going to create a whole new unity candle right here.
Okay, that's...
How about I do that?
Okay, you do that. That makes more sense. You know, I don't think I usually just speak, and then I apologize later.
We know, Ben. We know.
Let me have our deacons come forward. We're going to start with our deacons, and I'm going to light a lamp, light, and I'm going to hand off this, and it's going to go through the pews. I encourage you again. I do think we have this. I have learned that this is incredible, but if it starts dripping on your hand, please, by all means, it's okay. There's other lights. We got Christmas lights, but I don't think that's going to happen. But in case, I don't want another hair lighting on fire. So that's not happened at this church, by the way. Another church. Let's clear that up. Okay. Let me go to a time of prayer, and then we're going to go into our final song. But please remember, 2008, this whole thing represents us being the light to the world, because the light came, and now God has called us to be the light. And that's what we are representing. That's what this is representing. That's what this is about. Let me pray. Father, we thank you as we worship, as we think about Christmas, as we think about this season in which you came to this earth, God. You came vulnerable. You came in such a way that even the king and the time wanted to murder you, and yet you came. Because, God, you knew that what we needed was the light. And, God, I thank you for coming. I thank you as we remember your word, as we diligently worship you today, as we give our lives to you, Jesus. We know that you were the light. But, God, we recognize that you have come and you've taught us and you've called us to be the light. So, God, so as we sing this song and we worship you, remind us that as we worship you, God, we are part of what you're doing, God. And we thank you, and we look forward to 2018 as we end this year. Thank you for life. Thank you for a new year. And God, let us remember this moment as a time of us refocusing that we are the light because you came. We love you. We worship you. It's your name we pray. Amen.